A61, number 5A.
So we stopped at the point of mind reading. Let's go on. We have the faculties of mind as the next one. And as faculties of mind, we naturally can take in all kinds of faculties that have to do with spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, speaking. Why should faculty be a quality of mind? See, now, you see what I ask. I don't ask, does Mrs. Eddy say the faculties of mind? I say, now, why is she allowed to say so? Can you see, I begin now to question her authority. If her authority was the divine mind speaking to her, I'm now asking, now, can we see that in being there is the authority of mind to be characterized by these various qualities? We naturally can say, well, Mrs. Eddy says so. Well, that's okay if we accept Mrs. Eddy as authority, or if we accept that what Mrs. Eddy has written is actual revelation. But we have to also take into consideration that many will not accept her as authority. Then what can we do? And I think we can, through the synonymy principle, prove that in being we have the authority for what Mrs. Eddy has written. And this naturally would give us an even greater impact. If we can see that faculties are, or is a characteristic, a quality, that has to do with the other ideas of mind, then we could really see that it must be a quality of mind. Did I put that right, clear? Yeah? Or shall I go over it again? See, you never say go over it again when you haven't understood it. I go over it again. It's a fundamental question that has nothing to do just with this term faculty. A fundamental question is that we build a whole system and science on a revelation which Mrs. Eddy says has come from God. We can accept that and build on it. But many people will not accept that, will say, well, everybody can come along and say, I have had a revelation from God, and what I have been writing is a revelation from God. And so many people do that, and they build whole religions on it. So we should find other proofs, other reasons and proofs to show that what we are learning here are, can you say, innate in being, are a nature of being itself, and therefore can be proved from being itself, from the nature of being itself. If we do that, we put the authority of Mrs. Eddy back into God, into the Supreme Being, and then we would have a higher authority. So if we can see that, for instance, what is meant by faculties has something to do with the other qualities which we have found in mind, then we know, oh yes, no matter if Mrs. Eddy says so or don't say so, they belong to mind, to the nature of mind. Yes? Yeah? Okay. See, can you see? So, we are not just always saying Mrs. Eddy said so. this is our starting point that Mrs. Eddy said so, but we are going to find out why she was entitled to say so. Is there a higher authority there, namely that authority from which Mrs. Eddy took everything, namely from being? Now, faculty, what implies faculties? What is it that is necessary to have faculties? If mind has all faculties, what is necessary for faculties?
Power.
Capacity, power. A faculty, what? You see, you certainly have to have a knowing, huh? An intelligence, or it isn't a faculty. Hmm? Faculty means that it's something which is really
comprehending,
apprehending, knowing, that it's intelligent, that it is efficient in itself. Therefore, it must have some kind of a power sense behind it, a creative sense behind it, an sense of intelligence behind it. Can you see? Without these qualities, we can't speak of a faculty. Hmm? A faculty means the ability, the ability of mind, the ability to do something really, really good, really efficient, really with authority. Hmm? Therefore, it must have a terrific sense of intelligence about it, of know-how about it. We say know-how, a know-how about it. Must have action behind it. Can you see all these terms which we had in mind? If now these terms would not be in mind, we would not have the authority to say, well, this is a quality of mind.
Like the college faculty.
Well, that's something else, a college faculty.
Not a tool of communicating.
Yeah. A college faculty is a college department, so that is not a faculty which somebody has. So there you see again how we are not allowed really to rely just on a term, but we must rely on what is meant with that faculty, the philosophical faculty or the physical faculty in a university. This is not really meant by faculty here. That's a derivation of it. Yeah. All right. Then we come to guidance. We have the next one, guidance. What you have under guidance?
Leading.
Steering. Yeah.
Directing.
What else? Directing towards, yes.
Directional.
You could also, she also says, mind points out the direction, you see, pointing out. Out, mind outlines. This also could be put here. Everything that has to do with guidance. Can you see, we can put in much more hues of guidance. But you can see, if I say mind leads, or mind guides, or mind steers, or mind directs, or mind points out, or mind outlines, it's really saying always the same thing, fundamentally, tone-wise. And this is what enables us finally to get rid of the terms. We just have a sense of mind as what we call guidance. Why should mind be guiding? Why is it spirit? Why is it soul? Why is it principle? Why is mind guiding? Can you try now?
The creative sense has to be guided someplace.
Yeah. It must have a point towards which to work. Yeah. So it. That intelligence is channelized into a certain direction, yeah? So it needs intelligence, huh? What else does it need for guiding? It needs power, huh? It forces you to go, huh? It doesn't leave you free to be guided or not to be guided, huh? If mind guides, it means that it actually does guide, that it has actually power. What else does it need besides intelligence, power?
Influence.
Perhaps influence, yes. Action, huh? You see?
Illumination.
Illumination, because it has to show to the guided, huh, where to go, and therefore brings the a certain sense of illumination and vision, huh? Yeah?
Next one. When mind creates an idea, it's always for a purpose, isn't it? I mean, mind wouldn't just throw forth things for no reason whatsoever.
Absolutely.
It has to be goal-oriented or have a reason or a motive or...
Yeah, yes.
For their very being, really.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's directed, it's goal-oriented, huh? It's goal causality, yes. It needs intelligence, vision. Can you see practically all these ideas which we had before are necessary in order that guidance is actually guidance? You see what I mean? This is what later on we say, each idea must reflect every other idea in order to be that idea. Hmm? Yes?
Well, mind being first, it has to have that guidance within itself. There's nothing else that could provide the guidance. Mind, as primal.
Yes.
Would have to have that guiding and steering from within itself.
It has it from within itself, yes. And in order to guide, must be intelligent guiding, or it isn't guiding if it isn't intelligent. It must have the power to do it, the action to go along the line of guidance, yes.
It has to have something to guide,
so
guide
these
ideas.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Could you mix these words up and still come out right? Like you have now? You're coming out right.
You're coming out right.
Yeah. Could I mix those words up and still come out right? Could I start with mind as faculty?
You can start with mind with faculty, yes, you can start. Because mind doesn't have a beginning, you see, in itself. It's actually only we that somewhere come into the whole realm of mind and have to start somewhere. But you could start out...
They'll come out, right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is this where you could say mind has a name and a goal?
An aim and a goal? You speak a lot about goal. Is goal mind?
No.
No?
Uh-huh.
It's love. Therefore, you can see that guidance is that mind which has right from the beginning a goal, huh? Love.
Yes.
And therefore, is that initiative power, the creative power, which will lead thought in an ordered way towards the goal. So the ordered unfoldment naturally is no more mind, huh? But the initiative, the impulsion, the conception, I think we should have here really also under image, we should have the conception of mind. Mind has an infinite primeval conception of what it wants to do. That's the intelligence of mind, that mind knows what it wants to do and therefore must have a primeval conception or primordial conception. That's what mind has. Mind says, I want to achieve this and this, and sets the goal. Huh? But the goal itself is love, where it is fulfilled. But the mind at the beginning, as the first, is that which sets the conception, which sets the idea, and then brings it to action. Yes. Then we have further, as an other idea of mind, unerring. Unerring. Well, it does not make mistakes. We also could say, therefore, it corrects mistakes. It's a faultless mind, she speaks about in a marginal heading. Marginal heading, she speaks about the faultless mind, mind faultless. Why is this mind unerring? Yeah? It knows all, huh? Yeah. So because it knows all, it cannot make cannot make a mistake. Huh? Yeah, yeah. So it gives all that. Yeah. Then, as the next one, we have the will. Mind is the will of God. And as a secondary idea, you have volition, I think, the willingness. The divine must, which is really, that divine must is really what is, comes next, the mandate of mind. The mandate of mind. Can you see why will, mandate, volition has to do with mind? You should always ask yourself, why isn't it spirit? Why isn't it soul? Why isn't it principle? Why is it typically mind? If you have the will, why isn't this life? Why isn't this love?
Because in order to first create, there must be a will or a desire to create.
Yes. Yes. So what lies in the term will? It's such a short term. What lies in it? In a will? What other qualities lie in it?
Power.
Power, certainly. Huh? A will. What is a will without power? Huh? It's nothing. Huh? Yeah. And, sorry?
An incentive.
An incentive, all right. The incentive of mind. The power of mind in the will, it's a determination in it.
Willingness.
Willingness, yes, yeah.
Impulsion.
Impulsion, yes, impulsion of mind. The creative impulsion. A will also has usually in itself an idea, because it is determined to bring out something and therefore has the will to bring that out. So it has within itself a creative power, creative action.
Would you say it has the willingness to accept?
Does mind have a willingness to accept?
Mind knows.
Mind knows, huh? Mind knows. Yeah. So willingness to accept is therefore the human translation.
Yes.
Yeah. But the divine is really a sense of that it's a mandate of mind. Huh? Can you hear the power of mind which says, this is what I'm going to do? That's the way it will happen. Huh? Mind has within itself this terrific authority of power that says, I am determined to do something. I know what I'm going to do. It's all-knowing. I have the action to do it, and I have the guidance to do it. Therefore, I can execute my will.
Humanly, it's the law.
It demands obedience.
If I make my will, it's
the
law.
If I make my will, that's what you mean, if I make my testament. This is an interesting point. It says, if I make my will, it's a law. What has this to do with the idea of will?
Well,
nothing at all.
No.
Here you have a typical, you see, that you have a term, but that the term can mean many things. See, there you have to use, that's what I want to do. It takes perhaps a whole week to take you out of the literal sense of the terms. If you go to a dictionary, to Webster, or the big Webster, and you look up perhaps will, there may be perhaps 20 different definitions on will. And everyone may be different, or will be different. And will apply to all sorts of things. And we have to see what kind of will is meant by those perhaps 20 different definitions. We can't just take a term will and say, well, this is W-I-L-L, and that has to do with mind. We have to use the spiritual sense to know what is meant by a will. by mind's will. It is not when mind makes a testament.
Nor human will. There's three. There's the spiritual will that we have, and then there's the human will.
Yeah.
And then there's the document. So there's three different media interpretations.
Absolutely, absolutely different. And it doesn't apply to all three. Huh? No. It only applies to one. So we have to see that we get out of the word game, in spite that we use a lot of words.
Mm-hmm. Will, divinely speaking, is a law.
Is a law? Is a command?
That's the way she really meant it, but didn't...
I think so, from the divine standpoint, you see. But a human will is a document. Huh?
Yeah.
See? Now, in the divine will... You can say the divine will is a laying down of the law, of the divine law. Mm-hmm.
Did we mention volition?
We mentioned volition, yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
Did you say that mind reveals?
That mind reveals. Why do you come to reveals when we have to do with will?
Because it says here, the divine willingness to reveal its quality.
Yes. Yes, then the will always do something. Huh? Whatever it wants to do, it will do it. The divine will guide you rightly. The divine will save you. Huh? The divine will can do anything. So the object of a sentence must not be confounded with the subject of a sentence. Huh? Here we are dealing with the subject, mind as a subject, not as an object. If mind creates, then create is a quality of mind. But when I say mind creates this and this and this and this, then that is the object and has nothing to do with mind. Is that clear? So when you analyze the text of the textbook, you must see that you only ask yourself through what qualities is the subject of the sentence qualified? Through what qualities is the term mind qualified? Not what is the object of it. If you want to know who I am, then you can't say Switzerland. Just because Max goes to Switzerland. It's a fact that I go to Switzerland. But you can't say Switzerland has anything to do with Max. Because in that sentence, Switzerland is only the object, not the subject. So, and that is very important to see, though, that you don't confound in the analysis of the text, of Mrs. Eddy's text, the subject and the object. The object does not qualify the subject.
I'm having a little difficulty getting exactly what you're grasping, exactly what we mean by will, Max. I look at it this way, possibly, and comment on this. Infinity exists. It is there.
Insanity.
Infinity.
That's better.
Infinity exists, and it's impossible for infinity not to be filled with something.
Oh.
Therefore, since mind is infinite, then there is an automatic capability in mind to fill that infinity.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems to me that the will, capability, the other words, are automatic because they're inherent in the thing itself.
In which thing itself?
In mind.
In mind, yes. Yes. That's what we are seeing, huh? That embedded in mind is will. But, you know what I'm driving at? It's not so much that it is in mind, but that we see that it is in mind because the term will includes within itself other ideas of mind. And only because of that, it belongs to mind. See, as long as we say will is a quality of mind, we make a statement without any reasoning in it. without any reasoning in it. We don't see why. Huh? We don't understand why. We just state it. I would like to take you out of these statements. See, I have now 40 years synonym study behind me and 40 years experience with students who study the synonym, and I know where they go wrong. And they go wrong in most cases because they just make statements. They don't see the reason for it. So this is not understanding just because we know 120 ideas of mind. This does not mean that we understand mind. We only know a list of ideas, and that's not enough. We must not only know that Mrs. Eddy uses will in conjunction with mind, we must understand why will is a quality of mind, and we can only understand it by seeing that will implies power, action, mandate, creative authority, which are all ideas of mind. Then I understand why it is mind. Yes? You got it? No. Yes. Well, we will do it all over. See, this is the great... It's the great turning point. Between memorizing and babbling on ideas and saying, well, mind is action and mind is intelligence and mind is this and that, everybody can learn that. Even our parrots can learn that. But to understand why, not only say, Mrs. Eddy said, there's not enough authority at this point. At this point, when it is a question of understanding and not just repeating and memorizing, at the point of understanding, we must see that through the synonymy principle, we can prove why such a concept like will has to do with mind and not with spirit.